Today, we sure are excited that you're here. I got to laugh in here just a moment ago when I see the speaker today is Barry, Chili Fresh Home Slice. That's an inside joke, by the way. So, but Roy wanted y'all to know that's my nickname that he gave me. So, Barry Owen, I'm going to be your speaker today. I've been here before, and Roy is at the convention. So it's a good reason for me to share with you. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope that God speaks to you and your heart today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you today, and we thank you for the great gift that you gave us, the gift of salvation. We didn't earn it. It was something that you gave us as a gift. My prayer today is that every person that's gathered here today, would have an encounter with the living Christ. You have done for us what we can never do for ourselves. And we come today because we want to hear from your word. Your word is revelation. Your word is inspiration. Your word does something in our hearts that it changes us from the inside. It helps us to live out this thing called the Christian life. And so, Lord, I pray for Central. I pray for this service. I pray that through the message that is preached, through the songs that are sung, through the prayers that are offered, that they would be received by you as an act of worship today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I look forward to hearing the story sometime of behind the home slice. You know, that's pretty neat. Will y'all please stay with me as we sing, Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be the name.
Father, thank you. I'd like to thank Vicki for doing double duty today with Donna out. She's out for health reasons, as well as they're on vacation today, so missing them. And you notice we're a little light during the summer. You're always welcome to join us, and we're having a great time. I appreciate each one. We're now going to sing 52, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought.
Game.
So good to be with you, and if you see me hobbling, it's because I am having knee replacement on Wednesday. So I am in pain, and I can't take anything for it. That's good for you. That means a short sermon, right? And that guy's good. I like him. Hey, I've been working on a message all week, and as always, God, you have one thing in mind, and God changes it. So I'm going to be preaching today on a message I called Making Excuses for Bad Behavior. And so if you have your Bible, your iPad, your tablet, or whatever you're using this morning, turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. And I've got to get my glasses on so I can read. While you're turning there, have you ever heard a ridiculous excuse? We would call an excuse a rationalization. This defensive mechanism is used when people try to justify their inappropriate, negative, or harmful behavior. When you think about it, teachers, bosses, employers have probably heard more excuses for why people didn't show up for work or they didn't show up for school. One girl told her employer that her grandma had died. This was the fourth time she wouldn't be coming into work. One employer had called in sick. He said, "I'm sorry, I ate the cat food instead of tuna. I won't be coming into work today." And I like this one. One student wrote her note to the principal and said, "I won't be in class today. I'm in love." When I was a little boy, it's funny what you remember as a child. I don't remember a lot of things as a kid, but I do remember this story. I'm a little boy, and I'm in the kitchen, and for some reason, my mom specifically tells me, and she'd never said this a lot, because usually we ate all the time. It was three boys and a girl, and we worked on a farm, so I was eating most of the time. But on this particular day, she said to me, "Barry, there's some carrots in the refrigerator. Do not eat them." So what did I do? When mom wasn't looking, I opened up that fridge and I said, them carrots look good. I grabbed one and I proceeded to eat it unbeknownst to her. She's not gonna miss that. Hours later, I'm in the kitchen again, and mom opens up the fridge and she goes, "There's a carrot missing. Barry, did you eat the carrot?" Now you gotta understand, my home, everybody blamed me. I'm the baby of the family. I have two older brothers and a sister. I have nobody to blame, but I thought of somebody real quick. Who could I blame? Judy. Judy is our cat. And I said to mom, "Mom, it must have been Judy. Judy ate the carrot." And you know, my mom said to me, she said, "Barry Owen, you mean," and that's when I knew I was in trouble. Yeah. "Barry Owen, you mean to tell me that Judy opened up the refrigerator, opened up the drawer, and got her a carrot?" I said, "Yep, that's how it happened." Well, she got to laughing so hard, she didn't punish me, so I praise God for that day. Maybe that's why I remember that story. But you'll find in this story today of some bad excuses. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word excuse means a reason or explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or an offense. We have in our story today in Exodus chapter 32, let me read it for you. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and they said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. And he took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they, let's stop right there, who are they? The people. What did they say? "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Now here's where we find ourselves today. A lot of excuses are given today for why we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus gave us a specific command to make disciples. In fact, that was his last command. Go make disciples. Not go make converts. Not go make members. But go make disciples. Let me ask you this morning, how are we doing at disciple making? We find in the scripture today a bad excuse. In fact, there's several bad excuses. I'm going to give you four. I'm not a very good preacher. I'm supposed to have 3 points. I'm sorry. I'm giving you four. But let's go through this story. You'll find four bad excuses. So our first bad excuse is found in verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and they said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us." Now, stop right there. What has God been doing for the children of Israel for days now, weeks now, months now? He had been what? Going before them. Pillar of fire and a cloud. He was with them. He was leading them. "As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." He's taken way too long talking with God. Listen, first bad excuse is this: listening to people versus listening to God. Aaron knew what Moses expected. Aaron listened to the people instead of listening to God. He fell to peer pressure. He knew it wasn't right, but he did it anyway. How many of us are guilty? How many of us are guilty of going along to get along? You know, we don't want to ruffle any feathers. Have you heard that before? We know it's not right, but watch this. We excuse ourselves from responsibility. We excuse ourselves from responsibility. It was Aaron's job to take care of the people. Moses is spending time with God. Aaron, you're in charge. Bad excuse number one, listening to people versus listening to God. Let's go to our second excuse. Our second bad excuse is found in verse 21. Let me read it for you. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" The bad excuse that we find in verse 21 is this: you will never find a good excuse is a good reason to sin. It is never a good excuse to lead people in sin. So Moses comes down from the mountain, and listen, Moses is dumbfounded. He can't believe what he is seeing. What did these people do? Did they put a knife to your throat? Did they threaten to kill you? Did they threaten to hang you up by your earlobes? What did they do to you, or they threatened you, that you would lead them into such sin? Listen to what I'm about to say. I think that Aaron's answer has to be the worst excuse in the Bible. What does Aaron say? "Do not be angry, my Lord. You know how prone these people are to evil. And they said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him.' So I told them, 'Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off.' They gave me the gold, and I threw it in the fire, and out came a calf." Are y'all buying this story? You see, what had happened was, you know, that's how you can just see Aaron has no excuse. So what does he do? Well, he does what we do. He lies. Let me ask you, what is the one sin that God hates the most? Lying. Proverbs 6:16, the seven things that God hates: haughty eyes, a lying tongue. The ninth commandment that Aaron knew: do not bear false witness against your neighbor. God wants us to be truthful. He doesn't want us to make false statements. He doesn't want us to withhold information. He doesn't want us to manipulate the truth in any way. Aaron broke the ninth commandment. He lied and suggested that I just threw this stuff in the fire and out came a calf. The second thing he did was he blamed the people. Verse 22 and 23, he said, well, you know, these people are prone to evil. I think there's a saying that's out there that says, idleness is the devil's workshop. Aaron didn't have a plan. The people were getting idle and restless. They weren't doing what they should have been doing, which was what? Disciple making. Raising their children, teaching their children, making a plan, getting something constructive. But I want you to know something. It's not in this text, but it is in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 20. Not only is Moses so mad that he takes the Ten Commandments, the tablets that God has given him, he throws them down at the mountain and it shatters to pieces. Moses is ticked, but so is God. And in Deuteronomy 9:20, God is mad. God wants to annihilate these people that he just led out of Egypt after 400 years. Notice what Deuteronomy 9:20 says. God was so angry with Aaron that God was going to kill him. Deuteronomy 9:20, Moses tells this and says, "And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him, but at that time I prayed for Aaron too." Can I ask you a question? Who is praying that kind of prayer for you? Who is praying for you when you do stupid things? I'm thinking about my own life, and I think about all the dumb things that I have done, and I have to be honest with you, somebody's praying for me, because I have said it this myself, God has protected me even when I was stupid. Somebody was praying for me. I've made bad decisions, I've made bad choices, and God protects us even in our ignorance. Do you have somebody standing in the gap? Well, let's move to our third bad excuse. Our third bad excuse is this. It is never a good excuse to act godly in order to be ungodly. The people say, hey, let's offer burnt offerings. Burnt offerings are a great thing. Burnt offerings was an offering to God on an altar. You will remember this when you, and always burnt offerings were always made outside. This was a massive altar. You remember the story of Abraham building an altar to sacrifice his son. Now, this isn't a little bitty thing. This altar is a massive construction that they have to do together, because he's going to lay his son on it. But as we know, God holds his hand back, but there's a ram, hello, in the thicket. Rams are a huge animal. He kills the ram and he lays the ram on the altar. This is a massive altar. So this is a sacrifice for God, because it is a sign of devotion. This is what burnt offerings mean. It is a devotion to God. So these people are literally saying, we want to do an offering to the calf who led us out of Egypt. Then notice what Aaron says. Aaron says, well, let's get together tomorrow and have a festival to the Lord. So they offer what's called fellowship offerings. Now, you Baptists understand this. We call that potluck. We're going to have potluck next Sunday. Well, fellowship offerings were a peace offering. Now, this involved everything from offering cattle, sheep, goats, grain, or flour offerings. This offering was typically offered in thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for what you have done in our life. But notice the shift. Their devotion is not thank you, Jehovah. It is thank you, calf. That's why this offering, by the way, is usually combined with a meal. That's why the scripture says that the people, what? Ate, drank, and indulged in revelry. It was fellowship. And so how does that affect us today? I think this is speaking to us. Because what I see is happening is our devotion has changed. Our devotion has changed because what we're trying to do is we're trying to change how we worship. Well, I'm going to give God an hour on Sunday morning. That's my worship. Friends, if that's how you view your worship of God, is 1 hour on Sunday morning, you're worshiping a calf. That's not devotion to God. What we're trying to teach people today is that discipleship is a lifestyle. Discipleship is something that I am doing Monday through Sunday. I don't do this just on Sunday. See, what happens is, if that's your view that you have an hour on Sunday morning, what you have is a policy, but you have no coverage. Or you may have the attitude like a lot of people, I'm going to give God some money. That'll show my devotion to God. My friends, God doesn't need your money. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you're a Christian and your devotion is to God, absolutely we should be in worship together. We absolutely should bring our tithes into the storehouse, just like the Lord commanded us. But that's not the only thing that God wants us to do. You see, this is what I've been teaching to my teachers when I was at Lawndale. All the time I was trying to teach my teachers that what we do throughout the week is not just what we do on Sunday morning. We're doing something during the week. What are we doing? We're reaching people, we're teaching people, and we're what? Ministering to people. That takes work, that takes dedication. We start teaching our teachers that we start preparing a lesson on Monday, not Saturday night. We don't just wing it on Sunday morning. We don't just go into a class and have prayer requests and read a passage of Scripture. It is preparation. God honors our preparation. God likes it when we're working. We partnered with your church recently to build a ramp. The longest ramp we have ever built in our life was at Central Baptist Church. But you want to know what the blessing of that was? It's when the man who had been in the house had not been out of his house in 2 years, three, didn't wait for us to get through with the ramp. He came out, didn't he? He was so thrilled. This was going to get him out of his house. Wow. That may not sound a lot like a lot to you, but I want to tell you what it did. It probably changed his life. But I think I can prove to you today what is the golden calf of our society. I really think I can. And here it is. Sports. I really do believe that the golden calf of our society is sports. You just name a sport and it is played on Sunday. Now listen, I'm not against sports. I'm a sports guy. But isn't it funny that we don't have time for disciple making, but we have time for sports? We don't have time for visitation, but we have time for sports. We don't have time to visit the sick, but we have time for sports. Now there's nothing wrong with sports. Sports is a great lesson. It teaches very good, valuable lessons in life. It teaches discipline, teamwork. It's great camaraderie. Kids need to have an outlet. But see, here's the problem with sports, just like it could be any other thing. We don't have a balance. We don't have a balance. When I was growing up, Sunday was for God. I never said to my dad, "Dad, I'm gonna sleep in today." What is wrong with our culture when parents are listening to their children, asking their children whether they want to go to church? No, it's your job as a parent to lead them. I never had a vote. Never had a vote. But we've made Sunday, boy, have I heard this. Sunday is my day. Yeah, Sunday, I've been working hard all week. Sunday is my day to what? Sleep in, go to breakfast, read the paper, watch a game, take a nap, get ready for Monday. That Sunday is my day. I'm sorry. You are sadly mistaken. This is the culture we live in. The culture that doesn't know that God created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who gave us life, who gave us breath. Every good gift that I experience in this life is a gift from the Father above. And how many people go through life thinking, I did this, I accomplished that. Well, you know what Aaron tried to do? He did what we're doing too. Aaron is trying to, watch this, he's trying to add some Christian lingo to make it sound like that we're doing something spiritual. Let's have a festival to the Lord. But all it is a front to get drunk, to go wild, and do what we want. When I was in Atlanta, I ministered with millennials. Love this group of young adults. 20s and 30s. They were an interesting group. They didn't think like me, so that it was good for me to hang out with them because I learned lots of things from them. But one of the things that they taught me was, and this happened with a lot of different groups, but they just decided, some of them, not all of them, a lot of them loved the church and got involved. But a lot of them didn't believe that the church was getting it right. You know, you've heard that. Y'all people down at Central ain't got a clue what's going on in the real world. We know how to do it better. And so here's what they caught. This is true. I'm not making this up. This is true. They said, we're going to have home church. Okay. Okay. Home church. All right. Now, what does that entail? Are y'all ready? Well, home church is where we go to someone's house, we sit around, drink beer, smoke cigars, and talk about God. Did y'all hear what I said? Yes. Does this sound like home church to you? Where's the pastor? Where's the spiritual leader? Where are we using our God-given abilities, our talents that God has given us to help another person? Where's the discipleship? Where's the disciple making? Where's disciple learning? Where's the music? Where's the praise? Where's the worship? Well, that we don't know. No, there's none of that. Can I tell you something that I learned? That didn't last. Our fourth excuse. God is not going to turn you loose to sin and then not hold you accountable. The people thought, we are going to have a big old frat party. And so we're drinking our beer. We're partying. We're doing what we want. You can't tell us what to do. And listen, it is spreading like cancer. So much so that Moses says in Exodus 32, 19, when a Moses approached the camp and he saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned and he threw the tablets out of his hand, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf of the people that they had made and he burned it in the fire. And then he ground it to powder And he scattered it on the water and made the Israelites drink it. They said that there was, I was reading commentaries, they said that coming from the mountain was a stream, water coming through the camp for all these thousands, we know at least 1.5 million people. Moses burned their idols and he made them drink it. So he says in verse 25, he's watching the people run wild. And whose responsibility is it? Aaron. Aaron had let them, watch what it says, get out of control. And they became a laughingstock to their enemies. The enemy is watching. What in the world is going on with the Israelites? I thought they were God's people. Doesn't look like God's people. Which is a great stopping point to say, people are watching us. If you are God's people, you're a saved person, God is, not only is God watching, but people are watching. And we have a responsibility to live out this thing called the Christian life. So Moses stood at the entrance to the camp and he said this: whosoever is for the Lord, come to me. And immediately all the Levites rallied to him. And he told them, each one of you strap a sword to your side, and I want you to go back and forth throughout the camp and kill those who are sinning. Man. I'm kind of shocked. I mean, it's pretty bad to drink what you have just made. But I thought this was interesting. One commentary that I read said, how would these Levites know which people are sinning? Because you have to go throughout the camp. Watch this. It was evident because those who were sinning, they had gold around their mouth. That's the ones you kill. You know what's sad about this story? What is so sad about this story is that 3,000 people died that didn't have to. They killed 3,000 people. Sad. We all have a disease. I don't know if you know that or not. A disease called sin. One day, we all will die. I have a question for you. This is why I put this sermon together, because I want to ask you this morning, what excuse are you giving God? What excuse? Why are you not obeying Him? You know what to do, but for some reason, you have bought the lie of the enemy who has told you that, well, since nobody else wants to do it, you sit back and don't do it. I use that excuse. That's why I'm looking in the mirror, because I did that myself. I said to myself, well, nobody else in here seems to want to be a disciple maker, so guess what? I'm not going to be a disciple maker. But listen, God is not holding others accountable. He's holding you accountable. My wife will laugh at this, because in my church in Smyrna, God was speaking to me for about 2 years. I was there almost nine and a half, right? Is that right? Am I right? So after about 3 years, here's what I said. I am actually in my office and I'm praying. Now you got to understand, I'm the education pastor. I am the discipleship pastor. And listen to what I'm praying. Now y'all gonna laugh at this. I am praying, God, someone needs to disciple men in our church. I actually said that. And I kept saying over and over, God, somebody needs to disciple the men in our church and our community. And finally, one day, I stopped talking and I started listening. And God said, that's your job. So guess what? Well, I got to get to work. And so that's what I did. No one had ever showed me how to do this, but I was going to do it. So I started meeting with one man and then two men and then four men. And I didn't realize that I was doing what I've been trying to teach people to do in D-Life is multiplication. The church is not going to grow by addition. The church is going to grow by multiplication. If we're thinking one plus one plus one, that ain't going to, your church is going to die. But if we think five times five times five, our church is going to grow. And so that's what I did. I was doing disciple making and didn't really know what I was doing. Y'all following me? And we started reaching 10 men and 30 men and 50 men and 100 men. Are y'all following me? Bill Wilkes said it like this: you don't need permission to do the Great Commission. If you're waiting for somebody to say, can you do that in the church? You don't need permission. What are you talking about? Go and do it. A young man came to my D group on a Wednesday. I don't know how he found out about our D group, but he did. I didn't know his background. He said, I'm going to visit your church, but I want to join your D group first. His name was Chris. Well, Chris starts coming to my D group, and then he starts telling us his story. I just got out of prison. Ooh, wait a minute now. Didn't tell us that. We should have vetted him a little bit, right? No. We were like this. Chris started coming to our D group, and he started participating and reading his Bible and sharing. He got involved. He probably attended our D group for about a year and a half, and then he announces to us, and once again, he's not asking my permission. He says, hey, I just want y'all to know that I have been talking about the Lord to my family members who live in Tennessee. I am going to start doing D-Life with them over the phone. I said, wait a minute, Chris, you didn't ask my permission. No. I said, Chris, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to be a disciple maker. Don't just come and sit in a class and become a Bible learner and that's it. Be a disciple maker. Go and invest your life into someone else. When you and I don't obey God, there are terrible consequences. This morning, the message has been preached. And God is waiting for you to respond. Let us pray. I'm going to ask this morning that every head is bowed and every eye closed in reverence to God. And this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If God is speaking to you this morning, it's not important that I know what excuse you have been giving, but it's important that you say that to God. As I was preaching this morning, let me ask you a question. As I was preaching, was God pinpointing anything in your life? Would you just raise your hand if God was pinpointing an excuse that you have been making in your life? Would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you. I see this hand, that hand, over here to the left, here in the middle. Anybody on the right, back here in the back? Thank you. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you right now confess your excuse to God? Just name it. Confess your excuse to God. Now that you've confessed your excuse to God, here's what I'm going to ask you to do next. I want you to ask God to forgive you. I don't need to know what it is, but God knows what it is. What excuse have you been giving God for not doing what you know you should do? Now that you've asked for forgiveness, I want you to do next is pray to God for direction, for correction, to start over, to get back on track. Would you say to God, God, help me. I'm not sure what the next step is, but I know that you're leading me. I know what I should be doing, but I'm not doing. Because what I do affects me, and it affects those around me, and it affects my church. Let me pray for your church. Father, I thank you for these hands today that have gone up. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This has not been founded on man, it's been founded on God. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. You're the first and you're the last. This is not a church led by man, it's led by God. You're the head. We humble ourselves before you today. We seek your face. We turn from our ways to yours. We don't want to be like the children of Israel. They had a form of godliness. They had no power. They acted like they were spiritual, but they did that which was unspiritual and ungodly, and you brought judgment. How I pray for the church of Central, that they would be the salt and the light. They would be the head and not the tail, that they would lead and do the things that you've asked us to do. We should be doing the work of ministry. There's a lot that we should be doing, but for some reason, we're not doing it. And God, you will hold us accountable because you have asked us to be the hands and to be the feet, to be the salt of the earth, the light. And so I pray for Central this morning that they will be the church that will bring honor and glory to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing an invitation song, Speak to My Heart. Would you stand? And if you want to come for prayer, I'll be down here at the front. If you want to come for prayer, the altar is always open to the people of God. Let us sing together.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, help me thou lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today.
An offering, please be seated. Let's have our ushers come forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship, to give of our tithes and offerings. This is what you've commanded those who belong to you to do, to be faithful, because Lord, this is to do your work and to do your will. Bless this offering. May it be used for your glory and for your kingdom, we pray. Amen. Well, Chili Fresh Home Slice made it through the service today. Before we leave today, I want to share a couple announcements. First of all, our birthdays this week. We've got Michael Vernon, Texie Wilson, and Joshua Cazito. So we want to say happy birthday to them. Do y'all sing happy birthday? Okay, good. Okay, because I don't want to be leading that. So anyway. Now, tonight's no Bible study tonight, but there is a 7 o'clock band rehearsal in the gym. Monday, I see that there's a D-Life group, 6 o'clock. Man, I hope if you're not a part of a D-Life group, you ought to be. So I'm glad that Steve is leading one. We also have a ladies' monthly breakfast coming up on the 12th. That's 9 a.m. Also, I see some baby bottles here in front of me. Baby bottle collection is taking place through the 15th. And so today is the 8th, so you got till next Sunday. Once again, that's a great ministry to support. Also see there's a 4th of July celebration taking place on July 5th at 2 p.m. That's something that your church has always done. And I need to check my calendar, make sure I can be out there at 2 p.m. for those hot dogs and apple pie, especially if it's homemade, right? Well, listen, you've got announcements in the bulletin. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. I'm a poor substitute, I realize, for Roy. But I'm so excited that I get a chance to share with you today. Let us close in prayer and remember, let's go be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, once again, it's good to have been in the house of the Lord. But this is not where it ends. This is now where it begins. You ask us to go and to make disciples. You ask us to go into all the world. And we are a light. We may not be a big light, but we're light to somebody. Somebody is watching us, and they're waiting on us to invite them, to share with them, to spend time with them. There's a hurting world around us. We don't have to look very far for hurting people. We don't have to look very far for lonely people. We don't have to look very far for lost people. And so, Lord, I pray that every one of us will take this challenge today to be the disciple that God wants us to be. Thank you for Central, the blessing that they've been in my life, and the privilege it is to preach here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.